Good morning, good morning, and welcome everybody to Gateway Community Church. So glad to see those of you who decide to come for in-person service. We're grateful. I know we are all taking a risk, but I'm grateful that God has you guys feeling well enough and that it was in your mind and heart to be with us today. We certainly want to welcome our family and friends who are joining us live on Facebook. We're equally grateful to have you as well. We counted it an honor and a privilege. And if this is your first time joining us, a very special welcome to you. My name is KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. And on behalf of myself and the elders of Gateway, we are, again, especially glad to have all of you join us this morning. Today we're going to talk about words. Words are fundamental to our lives. It's actually how we primarily communicate with one another, through words, right? So in a real sense, we live through our words. Many of us have heard and agree that our words have power, right? So much so that King Solomon, the wisest king who ever lived, except for Jesus Christ, save Jesus Christ, right? He says in Proverbs 18 and 21, he says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Now, the wisest king ever, the King of Kings, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he says in Matthew 15, 18, "The things that come out of your mouth, they come from the heart." That's what makes a man unclean. And that's why he would say earlier in the 12th chapter of Matthew, he says, "I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have ever spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Now that's the NIV. Let me share with you very quickly how the Message translates that. It puts it this way: "There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation." So what does all of that mean? It simply means that our words are so powerful. They have the potential for good, Dale. But they also have the potential for great harm, Sharon. They have the potential for great harm. That's why a man is justified or condemned by his words. His words are an expression of who he is or what he is. Our words reveal something about who we are. So turn with me today for this very important exhortation and reminder to Paul's letter to the Ephesian believers. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Verses 29 through 32 ends the chapter. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. If you're there at home, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, we will have it up on the screen if you want to read along with us. But I encourage you, you know we're going to have service, have that Bible beside you, open it up and so you can read it for yourself, make highlights, notes, all of those things. But Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, I'll be reading from the NIV version. That's what we'll have up on the screen for you. Here's what Paul writes to those believers in Ephesus. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk," words. Remember, we're talking about words today. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Before you go back real quick. I encourage you, go look at the NASB version of this. I like the way it ends that it, instead of it saying that it may benefit those who listen, it says that it may be grace to those who listen. Go ahead, verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And finally, even though this is the end of the chapter, I encourage you to go to read on because it goes over into chapter 5. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I've entitled today's message, Grace or Grief. Let us pray. Father, thank you for our hour together today, our hour and then some. We thank you, God, that you would grant us in your grace this opportunity, God, not only to rise up, God, but to come into this place in person. Yeah, we're grateful for those online as well, God, but we thank you for this opportunity to fellowship one with another and to sit under your divine word. God, I stand before you in your presence and before your people as your manservant to speak your word. I pray that you would give me boldness and clarity, God, and I pray for the hearts of the in the ears of the hearers and listeners, God, that it will go forth and accomplish all that you have will for it to accomplish on this day. We thank you for your word. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace or grief? Now, Paul has been talking about to these Ephesian believers, for those who will go back and read, Paul has been talking about the new life that we have in Christ. And get this now, the practical manifestation in our conduct and character of the work that God has done in our lives. So you've heard me say it often from this pulpit or even when you're talking to me in person. We have been made new persons in Christ Jesus, new creations, a new man formed or conformed rather to the image of Christ Jesus. For over 15 years, I've believed that God has called me to pastoral leadership, not because of who I am, but simply because of his grace and according to his will. So I know I don't deserve to stand here. I know it. But here I am. And after 1 year of serving in this capacity, I want to share with you what has probably been my most challenging thing that I've faced as a pastor. It wasn't navigating through the waters of 2020 with all of the things that was going on. That wasn't it. Because life will always be unpredictable. No man knows what's going to happen this day or the next. The most challenging thing I've faced in 1 year of pastoring, it's been the very thing that Paul is saying in this letter to the Ephesians. It is trying to get your Christian brothers and sisters, those people you love, to understand the new life that they have in Christ, not just positionally. Everybody knows that when you believe in Jesus, you become this new person. The challenge has been to get people to understand that now they are called to live out this new life. This position that you and I and all who name the name of Christ, this position we have in Christ, is now to manifest itself in every area of our lives as God's children. My constant prayer for this local body that he graciously allow me to serve. And for those of you who tune in each Sunday on social media, my constant prayer is that we might grow, not just in physical numbers, but that we might grow in God's grace and become everything that he has willed for Gateway to be. But I have to be honest. I don't say this to our shame. I say it because it's true. I do see a disconnect. Many of us are either not listening, or we think that this new life is just going to happen. But I stand before you to tell you, not just Gateway, but for those who are joining us, we have to practice what we preach. We must do what we say we believe. James puts it this way, what? Do not be hearers only, but doers of the word. And that, my brothers and sisters, is how we grow. That's how we grow. We started this very year, the first year of this, the first message of this year, we talked about resolutions, right? The believer's resolutions. And we talked about, as newborn babies do, we have to long for the word. There must be a craving for the pure spiritual milk, which is the word of God, so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. God's will for Gateway and every person who names the name of Christ is for you to grow, to become like him. Now, today, in terms of growth, Paul is emphasizing in our text the area of speech, our words. So let us listen intently with what the Spirit has to say. Because, see, Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing this. And let us take them to heart. Paul, writing to these Ephesian believers, says in verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." I believe the main thing that Paul is interested in here is the purpose behind our words. The purpose behind our word. He's not telling us precisely what to say, but he's telling us why to say what we say. He's talking about the purpose and the effect of our words. Grace or grief. So he says, those who have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Those who have, as they sang this morning, I thought about it. Those who have, who understand how God has, his love has chased them down, and that they have become new men, and they have heard the voice of Jesus saying, rise up like Lazarus, rise up. Those people, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Unwholesome here, it means corrupt or foul or rotten is what it means in the original. And the term rotten was used in documents from Paul's time to describe old or decaying fish or fruit like apples and stuff that were full of maggots. Or diseased trees or cracked or defective stones that were useless for building. Now, in terms of how this text relates to us today, I want to give credit to Lionel Windsor. I believe he does a good job of bridging this text from the biblical time and culture to our contemporary time and culture. So I'll use some of his insight on relevancy, but I'll just put them in my own words. But Windsor, Mr. Windsor, he nails it. But Paul says, don't let rotten stuff, unwholesome talk, come out of your mouths. And one of the things Mr. Windsor talks about that I'll put in my own words, he talks about how social media technologies give us extended voices. Social media gives us a far-reaching voice to our words. Now, of course, since Paul is writing in a time before social media, before social media technology existed, he's assuming that our words are normally communicated through our mouths, right? So that's why he says, don't let any unwholesome, don't let foul or rotten things come out of your mouth. But since social media is a place now where people live and speak, the verses are also relevant to the way we use our fingers to create words online. You could swap mouths for fingers here, and it would be just as applicable. So, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, to those who have heard the voice of Jesus, commands the believer. Not only are you positionally, new in Christ Jesus. Now you are to live that out, not just in your life. Paul writes to the Corinthians talking about your body. Now he writes to the Ephesians talking about your mouths. What you do with your body, and now what you do with your mouths. Don't let rotten things or rotten words or unwholesome. Those are words that are bad, and so they're good for nothing. What good is a rotten apple with worms in it? What good is decayed or rotten fish? Too often when we speak or type, right, we don't think about how the words that come out of our mouths or the words that came off from our fingers, how they affect others. Too often we produce rotten words, unwholesome words. But Paul says, don't let any, none whatsoever, whether you do it through your mouth or whether you do it on a keyboard or on your phone, whatever, none whatsoever, don't let it be true of you as a believer. Keep in mind, Colossians speak of it as the position, as it's already done in Christ Jesus, which it is. The old man is gone, the new is here. Paul, as he writes to the Ephesians, he's speaking of it in the practical terms. Until the Lord Jesus comes and we are completely free, you now have to live this out. Now, most of the time when we think of unwholesome talk, we think he's talking about cuss words maybe or provocative language. But I need you to understand anything, and he's getting ready to elaborate on it because of what he gives the negative, and he's telling you what to replace the negative with, which is the positive, but only what is helpful. So anything that is not helpful should not be coming out of your mouth. It's a broad area. He's covering all things. So the negative is, don't let stuff that doesn't do any good come out of your mouth. Only, as if you didn't understand, if he was saying certain things when he says any, because I believe any means none whatsoever, he says only this, meaning this is the only thing, only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I told you I like the NASB translation, that it may be grace to those who listen, because that helps you understand why I titled the message Grace in Grief. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to be very careful that the words that we speak or the words that we type are words that are used to help others, that's used to help build up others. Even this position that I've been called to, Scripture is very clear to me. He gave you as a pastor and teacher so that you might equip and build up others, not stand up here and tear them down. Give them what they need, KP, that they might be built up and grow in Christ Jesus. Look, according to their needs, and this is very important, according to their needs, because obviously, just like children, everybody don't grow at the same rate. According to their needs. Now, so lest I be taken out of context here, that doesn't mean we don't speak the truth in love sometimes. Let me say all the time, but I mean that may be where I have to say something that you might not want to hear. But it's for your good. And it's not to tear you down. It's so that you might be built up. But that it might be grace is the key here that I'm getting to. That it may be grace to those who listen. Grace is always meant for the good. That's what it is. That's why you and I, who have named the name of Christ, that's why we are children of God now, because of the grace of God. So now you need to understand now, if it's so that it may be grace to them, it does not depend on how they act. Because grace is unmerited. It's unearned. It's not if they do this, then I'll do that. No, as a Christian, we have to only speak those things that are helpful to others. Those things that when we see that there's a need in this area, this will benefit them. It's grace to the listeners. But there is something even beyond that. Go to the next verse for me. I shared with Steve Tucker a little bit before we got started. This verse, I believe, is the key to all of this. And this verse would put me on my face, because this is what I believe oftentimes we're not considering when we open up our mouths. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve. Do you not know, as a believer, God is with us? The third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who now lives within the believer. He's with you everywhere you go. The scripture says, and this is what we don't think about, He's always listening and watching what we say and what we do. And you and I don't realize that our actions and our words can grieve God Himself. It's not that what we say take Him by surprise, because He knows all things. But it grieves Him. And from a human standpoint, He's given us the picture that this actually pains God. That His children, the one He has given everything, did not withhold any good. He's given everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now has given you His Holy Spirit, so that that which could not be controlled, no man can tame the tongue. But now with the Spirit of God, enabled by His power, every believer now has self-control. Now, if you go back up, and I hope you will in your reading, when you go back up to the 26th verse, it starts talking about be angry and sin not. And it talks about don't go to sleep on your anger. Don't let the sun go down. And I believe these are just extensions of that. Because what happens when you do that is what we're reading about. Unwholesome talk and stuff start coming out of your mouth. But not only does he talk about don't be angry and be angry and sin not. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. He also says something to the thief. And to the thief, don't steal no more. And when I first was reading that card, I was like, man, that seems so out of place. He's talking about anger. Then he starts talking about stealing. And I believe it was for a purpose. For you and I to see something like this. You and I would readily say to a thief that has claimed the name of Christ, you would say it would be absurd that he would keep on stealing. How could he possibly keep on stealing if he now has come to Jesus? And I believe God is trying to tell you and I, it's the same thing when it comes to the words that you let come out of your mouth. As a new creation, just as it is unthinkable for a thief to continue to steal after coming to know Christ, it should so should it be with you and I when we let certain things come out of our mouths. He gives the drastic that's there. I was like, of course you wouldn't expect a thief to not steal anymore if he's come to Jesus Christ. Well, we shouldn't expect certain things to come out of the mouths of those who profess to be believers either. We are to be instruments of grace to others through what we say. And that's why I titled it Grace or Grief. If what you say builds up others, then it is grace to the Holy Spirit. But if what you say tears down, then it grieves the Holy Spirit, the one you say, or as Scripture says, who sealed you for the day of redemption, speaking to the part that the Holy Spirit plays in the life of the believer. The Father sends the Son dies, the Spirit indwells the believer. He is the believer's guarantee. He seals the believer. He marks the believer to the day of redemption, to the day Jesus Christ will finally set all things straight. But until that time is what we call the life of sanctification. You are not to let rotten words or unwholesome speech come out of your mouth. You are to speak words that will be grace to the hearers and not words that will grieve the very one who seals you. When we speak, our focus should be what is good and helpful to others, not what is good for ourselves. Oh, I just got to get them told. I just got to let them know, Dale. I just got to, I got to give them my 2 cents. We tend to speak or type so as to do things for ourselves. I got to express myself. And don't get me wrong. I am so grateful that we live in a country where there is freedom of speech. But mark my words, as a believer, your speech is limited. Your speech is limited to say what God says you can say, not what the Constitution says you got a right to say. Christians are to be people who speak primarily with the good of other people in mind. We want to, we desire to see others grow. We are to speak so as to give grace. The question we should always ask is, am I doing this to, simply for myself or my views? Or am I doing this so as to give grace to the one who hears? Because I dare not want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But if we don't use our words for God's purposes, according to this text, I've learned, Steve, that we grieve the Holy Spirit. And I believe Paul is referring back here, and you make the note, and you go back and look at it. I believe he's referring back to Isaiah 63, and you'll read there, the 10th verse, you'll read there where he talks about how the people grieved the Holy Spirit, and they rebelled. And guess what? God went from on their side to against them. The same people he rescued at the time of the Exodus. Now he was against them because they grieved his Holy Spirit. God's grace was poured out on the believers. And that gives us all the more reason for wanting to build others up. Because we understand to give grace to those who hear it and not desire to grieve him in any shape, form, or fashion. You see, we live in a culture and a time we think it's cute to see little kids saying all kinds of things. We'll videotape them and laugh at it. And we get all the likes and views. And sadly, many of the likes and views come from Christians. Do you know your emojis speak volumes? That little red one with the angry face on it, it says a lot. And that's what's been the problem in the church. We wink at certain things. We kind of push it to the side and act like it's not a big deal. But if you read these carefully, don't let any, only this, and do not, these are commands, imperative. These are commands. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Go on for me. Grace or grief? That's what you need to be asking yourself before. You know, let me pause before I get to this. Maybe before you speak or before you post, get with somebody you trust is going to be honest with. Not yes men now. Get with somebody that's going to be honest with you before you speak or before you post. If you feel like, you know what, I need to go over there and talk to them now. I got to tell. Maybe you want to pause for just a moment. Because it says get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You know, this sounds kind of familiar. This is our third weekend in the new year. The very first message that we looked at in Peter about the resolutions, the very first thing we looked at before talking about the longing of the word was things that we have to rid ourselves of. And guess what? This list seems very similar. Rid yourselves of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That sounds just like Peter. Peter says, rid yourselves of all kinds of malice, all kinds of deceit, envy, jealousy, hypocrisy, and all kinds of slander. Same thing. I think God is trying to tell us something. Do you realize that what the subject of words and what we're talking about today is so important? See, most people, let me say this, before you out there, especially out there in social media land, in case you amen in this, be careful. See, it's easy to amen when you think you're pointing at a certain person. But I might be talking about you. I might be talking about you. Because, you know, we see this come on, it's just so obvious. We see it now, especially in the political arena. Now, this goes beyond the political arena now. But it's so evident and so strongly seen in what we're seeing in our politics today. But make no mistake about it. I was sharing with Steve, it goes from just being crossed the wrong way in a grocery store or out the door, and now you want to open up your mouth and say some things. It even talks about that. But it is so clearly seen in our politics. Now, here's why I tell you to be careful about your amen, because somebody will only want to talk about the Capitol incident. This stuff been going on for years. The words that's been coming out of both sides. Not one side, both sides. And it never ceases to amaze me. Each side charges the other with the same exact thing when both sides are guilty. But the believer, I'm coming to you unbeliever in just a minute, but the believer, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, because those things is what attributes to what comes out of our mouths when we're angry, when we're jealous, when we're bitter about something. That's when it happens. But that should not be named. That's characteristic of the old man. That should not be characteristic of the new. This is what you got to do. That's the negative. What's the positive? 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And this points back to the grace that the believer has been shown in Christ Jesus. The sinners that we were before we came to know Jesus Christ, he was kind and compassionate, not desiring for any of us to perish, but that we might have life and have it more abundantly. How did he show his kindness and his compassion? He forgave us, not just for some, but for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And that's supposed to be the driving motivation and thought behind how we live and what we say. Sadly, the problem is we don't put the value on people that God now has on his children. While we were worthless apart from Jesus Christ, now, in Jesus Christ, you are the apple of his eyes. No amount of money compares to what you are. But here's the problem. God wants you and I to look at one another in the sense of, when I look at Mark, I'm supposed to see that here is a man that God values now. And I need to be careful how I speak to him. I need to be careful how I treat him. He gives us the negative of what you're not to do and doesn't leave us standing there, but what we are to do. Your words are going to either produce one or two things. It's either going to be grace to the hearers, or you're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. As a child of God, you and I are commanded now, because the old thing has passed away and we have become new creations in Him. We are to make sure that our words are helpful and building up. And all you have to do is, now I get it, James, be slow to speak and quick to hear. Don't want us to be, don't shoot off the hip and be so quick to respond. Ask yourself the question, am what I'm about to say, post, or do, is it helpful for building others up? I didn't say ask yourself, is it true? Is it helpful for building others up? Because I am to be kind and passionate. I am to be forgiven just as God has been towards me in Christ Jesus. And unbeliever, let me say this to you. Maybe you don't, you say, well, that's for y'all Christians, right? Well, let me talk, because we're talking about words, let me tell you about the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And here's what the Word of God and how powerful it is. It exposes your very thoughts, your very desires. So here's what the Word of God says to the unbeliever. The Word of God says that there is none righteous, not one. The Word of God says that the wages of sin is death. The Word of God says, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what that verse is talking about, unbeliever. When it tells me as a believer to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave me, He wants me to tell you that same forgiveness that was available for me is available for you. That all you have to do is acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you understand that God sent His Son to pay for your sins on that cross. And that He was crucified, they buried Him, but 3 days, just as He said He would, He got up with all power in His hand. He has the power to save you. He has the power to forgive you, and He has the power to give you new life. And that's what He's done to every single believer. But for the believer, we've been charged today to consider your words, because they're either grace or grief. Your words are going to be grace to His hearers, or it's going to be grief to the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Be careful. Steve prayed for the inauguration that's coming up, and it's not just about Joe Biden or President-elect. Let me be respect President-elect Biden, or about President Trump. As believers, it doesn't matter who it is. This is to be the life that characterizes us in every single way. I was sent today to exhort us and to remind us. Words are powerful. It's either grace or grief. Father, thank you so much for your words of grace, God. That even at hearing that we are sinners and we are hopeless, God, it sounds like grief. But there are words of grace, God, that there's a Savior. And that you did not withhold Him, God, but sent Him so that He might become sin for us, so that we can have a relationship with you. I thank you, God, for loving us enough, God. Rather than us having a good time, you would warn us. And God, it is so evidence of how this is so needed for us today. Forgive us. As a whole, as a body, God. I pray that you will receive these words, that just as Moses stood on behalf of the people, God, I stand on behalf of the local assembly that you've placed me over and those who regularly sign in with us online, God, that you would forgive us and that we would be mindful from this day forward of the new life that you've given us in Christ Jesus, and that our words carry weight, God, and that we would at least pause. Now consider the goodness that you have shown towards us, and recognize that now we're called to show that same goodness towards others, even in, with the very words we speak. So thank you for our time together. I pray that you've been glorified by it. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.